Well, it's good to have everyone with us this morning on this wonderful Lord's Day. You know, it really doesn't matter what it looks like outside, even though it is beautiful. It's still a great day for us to gather together as the Lord has instructed us to come together and worship Him and edify each other. Appreciate your presence this morning. I'm glad that Randy is able to be with us this morning as well. I wasn't sure if he would be here. I wasn't expecting him to, but I'm glad he is here and glad he is feeling better. And hopefully absence will edify you just as much as when he is up here speaking to you. I used to be in a Wednesday night Bible class where we studied different religions. It didn't just cover the denominations that we're so familiar with in America, but other religions that we see in the Eastern world. One of the religions that we studied one night was a group called the Religious Society of Friends. I had never heard of that group until I'd studied that lesson. Sometimes they're also known as the Quakers, which might be more familiar to us. When these people get together, they generally sit in silence, waiting for God to speak to their heart. So it's as if they would gather together and nothing would be done until God speaks to at least one of them. Anyone who is moved by what they call this inner voice is able to speak up and worship God, whether it is a man, a woman, or a child, or even a first-time visitor. So if you happen to visit them and that inner light comes upon you, you feel free to speak up and as you worship God with them. This inner light that God supplies provides anyone with divine revelation of truth. So it's as if they're meditating in order to experience a new revelation from God. The Quakers say that this is a part of meditation. Religions like these meditate in order to experience God or to receive some revelation from God. Also, the Hindu practice of yoga. We've all heard of yoga classes, but the Hindus came up with this exercise of yoga really to try to meditate and to experience truth or peace that is difficult to express. That was the origin of that, and is actually spilled into basically an aerobics class for us today. We also see the Buddhists and how they meditate. I found an article on the Birmingham News about the Buddhist method of meditation. The title of this article that they wrote has to deal mainly with children and meditation in the Buddhist practice. It says, children learn to meditate in Buddhist method at local Birmingham Center. Now I'm not going to read the entire article, but I'll read some of it for you. On Sunday afternoon at the Birmingham Shambhala Meditation Center in Avondale, children sitting on red cushions took turns talking about Buddha and discuss learning how to meditate. Several of them said they know a little about Buddha. One girl named Josephine says he sits still and meditates and he's all calm. So the instructor later on teaches them how to meditate. And this is their first time in doing it. It goes on, it says, but they were all ready to give meditation a try as part of the Shambhala Center's first effort to teach children about Buddhism and meditation, with classes for children ages 3 to 6 and 7 to 11. So if you want to sign up your children for this, don't. The instructor, Phyllis Mark, says to the children, sit down, cross your legs, take a breath, hum it out, open your hands. So her way of meditation and teaching this to the children, this was her definition. They listened to a children's story version of the life of Buddha. Then the instructor brought out an empty metal pot and a rubber-coated wooden mallet to tap it with. All these exercises, Phyllis Mark said, help underline principles of Buddhism. And the sitter also welcomes people of other faiths who want to study meditation. This one lady says at least 3 times a week they're open to anybody from any tradition to come spend time in meditation, said ordained United Methodist deacon Becky Wadley, who was at the center on Sunday. They've made it a very open atmosphere and an inclusive place. It goes without saying that many have the wrong concept of what meditation is all about. We have actually just partake in meditation as we were recognizing the Lord's Supper. We meditated and thought about the already revealed truth about Jesus Christ, His death, burial, and resurrection. We observed that this morning. We know in Genesis chapter 24 that Isaac meditated as he was about to meet his wife. God told Joshua to meditate day and night. In Joshua chapter 1. And as Noah read for us in our scripture reading this morning, David became wiser than his teachers through what? Meditation.
That's how he became to know God's Word and think upon it, and how he became more intelligent was through meditation of God's Word. So let's consider some things on this subject of biblical meditation. We've already talked about some religious groups that meditate to experience truth or to receive some new revelation from God. And some think that meditation brings some truth from within oneself. In other words, truths arising within one's mind in contrast to what is outside. So many believe that it's something in order to reveal new truth to them. Something not only to a group of people, but to one specific person and how they need to live their lives. Is this biblical meditation? Well, biblical meditation is to dwell or think on truth that is already revealed. Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy 4, verses 12 through 16. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Verse 15, meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. So you see here the focus of meditation. It's on God's revealed truth. It's on doctrine. It's on things that He's revealed to us that we're to think about in order to improve our lives. It is truth that originates outside and independent of the mind. It's the exact opposite of what we just discussed in our introduction. Let's turn to Psalm 63. We'll look at Psalms a lot because Psalms talks a lot about meditation. Psalm 63, verses 6 and 7. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches because you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. Why is it such an easy thing for David to meditate upon God and His Word in his bed at night? Well, mainly because it's so quiet, it's silent, it's dark. It gives you a chance to be with your mind and with God and think about Him and His revealed ways. In Psalm 77, in verse 12, we can meditate on God's works. I will also meditate on all your work and talk of your deeds. Do you ever find yourself get so caught up in meditation of God's creation and just to think and dwell on the vastness of this universe? I mean, you can really get lost in your thoughts by thinking about that and understanding how powerful God is in His creation. But moreover, the main point of meditation, I feel, in God's Word is meditating on His revealed Word. Let's turn back to Psalm 119. We won't read the verses that Noah already read for us, but we'll see more verses in Psalm 119 that talk about this. Psalm 119, verse 15, I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. Verse 23, princes also sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates on your statutes. Verse 48, my hands also I will lift up to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. And then verse 148. My eyes are awake through the night watches that I may meditate on your word. So we see how important meditation is in the life of a Christian. Here in the life of one who is following Judaism. But it's also so important to us as Christians to meditate on God's revealed word. And we're to do this for a purpose. It's not to seek for some unrevealed truth, because God has revealed all His truth. We have God's Word, and we have everything that needs to be revealed to us. It's to understand God's revealed will and to be built up by it. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Let's continue our thought, and why should we meditate? Well, it helps us to understand God's will for us. If we're just reading God's Word like we would read a book and not give it another thought and not think about it, meditate on it, it's not doing us any good. We need to meditate and understand God's will for us. turn to Psalm 49. Psalm 49, verses 1 through 4. Hear this, all peoples. Give ear, all inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall give understanding. I will incline my ear to a proverb. I will disclose my dark saying on the heart. Here you have the psalmist wanting to meditate in order to help others understand God's will. And that's so important for parents especially, that that's one of our responsibilities, that we meditate and think about God's Word because we have that responsibility of teaching our children. Because our children depend upon us for understanding of God's Word, no matter what their age is. So knowing what God commands us to do is a good motivation in our meditation. Meditation also goes along with our transformation. As we come out of the world of darkness into the marvelous light of Jesus Christ, as we're transformed through Him. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, verse 29. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Our goal is to be Christ-like in everything we do. And we understand the life of Christ and how much He meditated. He often withdrew Himself in prayer to God. And as He meditated about the life that He had given Him here on this earth and the work that He had given Him to do, we are to be Christ-like in that sense as well as Jesus was meditating in His life. Transformation means we are to be changed from darkness into light in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In verse 2, it says that we are to renew our mind. And how do we renew our minds? And it's by setting our minds on things that are spiritual and good things, and not on evil things of this world. This calls for us to meditate. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. You know, it's easy for us to just look at this verse and say, well, I know that's what I need to do, but we got to make it in our life. We got to be practical and make practice in our life that this is what we're aiming to do, to set our minds on things above. So what would that mean? That would mean us being a diligent study, a diligent student of God's Word, and to surround ourselves with good people. You know, if you've ever gone to a singing maybe at someone's house or been through a Bible class, when you go home, that's what you're meditating on. You're thinking about God's the worship that you offer to God in song and the Bible class that you've been through. If you surround yourself with spiritual things, you will think about spiritual things about God up in heaven. So we have to surround ourselves with those things. And this is how we complete our transformation, when we meditate our minds on spiritual things and putting off that old man. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 22. The writer Paul encourages us to put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. We need to be cautious not to meditate on the wrong things. And that's so difficult for us to do. Certainly we're surrounded by a lot of things, whether it's in TV or movies or the music we listen to, or the friends and co-workers that we're around. It may be very difficult for us to meditate on good things when we surround ourselves possibly with the wrong things. God told us that we are of this, we live in this world, but we are not to be of this world. And it's so important we understand that we are sanctified and we separate ourselves from worldly things. And it's interesting, even people in the world know that you cannot be spiritual if you are concentrating on carnal things. The reason I say that is I found a study that was conducted by Stanford University. They discussed in this study things that people observe and how it affects their behavior and how it affects their meditation in their spiritual life. I have it up on the screen. You can read with me. It's fairly long, but this is an excerpt from that study. Recent studies conducted by a Stanford University research team have revealed that what we watch does have an effect on our imaginations, our learning patterns, and our behaviors. Now remember, these aren't Christians that are writing this. This is a secular group that is writing this based on their studies. First, we are exposed to new behaviors and characters. Next, we learn or acquire these new behaviors. The last and most crucial step is that we adopt these behaviors as our own. One of the most critical aspects of human development that we need to understand is the influence of repeated viewing and repeated verbalizing in shaping our future. The information goes in harmlessly, almost unnoticed, on a daily basis, but we don't react to it until later, when we aren't able to realize the basis for our reactions. In other words, our value system is being formed without any conscious awareness on our part of what is happening. Do we have favorite TV shows? Yes, we do. Do we have favorite movies? Yes, we do. It's mainly because we like to be entertained. We like to laugh. But there are a lot of things in the media that they insert into these funny and entertaining things that are aimed to corrupt us. And my friends, the devil is behind that. He's trying to access Christians through these entertainment avenues. And we can't let him have this type of effect on us. And you know, you may say, well, that doesn't affect me. I can watch this. It doesn't affect me. But if you notice in this study, it says that the information goes in harmlessly and almost unnoticed. It's as if you think you can watch it and not be affected by it. But this study says that's what's going to happen. You don't think it's going to affect you, but in the end, it does affect you. And it affects your value system and affects the way you think, act, and live your life. We've heard the phrase, you are what you eat. Well, you see here, you are what you watch. And we have to be careful with our little eyes what we watch. How do we meditate? First, we need to be selective and cautious of what we look at and what we listen to. That's where it all starts. If we're not surrounding ourselves with good things, you can understand what you're going to be thinking about, what you're going to be meditating on. And I can't stress this more enough to the young people. Because when I was a young person, I didn't date the right girl. I didn't date the person that my mom or dad wanted me to date. So because of that influence, I thought about bad things that I shouldn't think about. I really stress to the young people that you make sure you put a lot of thought into who you're dating. Because if you're with someone who's trying to help you live a better life and get to heaven, you're going to meditate on good things. And it will affect the rest of your life because chances are you will marry that person. So please remember that in your dating years. We need to do this in order to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, as we already read in Romans chapter 12. And we're familiar with Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. I like to call it the whatever verse because it says whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are of good report. It goes on to talk about those things that we are to meditate on, good and honest things. And yes, the Bible is included in that. But it's not like we have to read the Bible 24 hours a day and God doesn't expect us to. When I look at Philippians 4:8, I also think of other good things that we have in this world, whether it's books or novels or good programming on TV or movies or a lecture or going out and enjoy God's creation, hiking, doing things like that. I would like to lump that into Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. As we surround ourselves not only with spiritual things, but good things that this world has to offer, we will meditate and on God's Word. It will lead us into that direction. And this is something that also we need to improve on as well. Looking at all the advice found in Psalms on how and what to meditate on, we need to let the Bible be our primary focus on meditation. And we need to pray that we have better understanding through our meditation. Psalm 119. Let's turn back to Psalm 119 and read verse 18. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. So here it's a plea that God will help us in our meditation and what we think about. We need to pray that we might have better understanding through doing that. And actually, the word meditation almost means to us to read aloud. Because the word meditation is translated babbling or uttering. So it's almost as if you have separated yourself and you meditate, you're talking to yourself. You're uttering to yourself. That's what the translation of meditation means. Don't let a lot of people see you talking to yourself. They think you're crazy. But you talk to yourself and you meditate on God's Word. And not only that, we pray to God and help, ask Him to help us in our meditation and what goes on in our minds. And as we study God's Word, we need to ask ourselves some questions. Again, we babble or utter to ourselves in our meditation. As we look at God's Word, we ask, what can I learn from this verse? There's so many things. If we isolate one verse, we can gather things from God's Word and apply these things to our lives. If we just simply focus on even one verse, we ask ourselves, what can I learn from this verse? Does this passage say I should stop something that I'm practicing? Or is there something I should begin to do? If you take those three questions, that will be a good session in meditation. And you will find yourself growing closer to God. And that should be our goal. In conclusion, Psalm 19:14 says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord." We need to make sure we're surrounding ourselves with good people and good things. Someone may ask, "Do I have to go to every service? Do I have to go Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday night? Do I have to do it?" Now, you don't have to do it. But let me tell you, you should want to do it. My friends, we cannot get through this life by ourselves. No man is an island. We need each other. We need to surround ourselves with each other and be edified and built up. And as we continue to do that, we will meditate on good things. Because we've got to have each other in this life as we lean upon each other and look to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as our perfect example. In extending the invitation this morning, if you aren't a Christian, you need to meditate on your soul's destiny. If you haven't taken that opportunity, I encourage you to do that. Because this life is such a distraction. There's so many things in our life that are intended by the devil to distract us from thinking about eternity. We've got to understand that this life is not all that there is. There's something that waits us beyond this life. You need to look to His Word and think about what you need to do to be found in His grace. Or if you have erred as a Christian, think about why you should delay any longer. I hope you're meditating on good things, and I hope I've encouraged you to do that, as this has been helpful to me as well. If you're subject to the invitation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we ask you to come as we stand and as we sing.